tonight in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we turn to our Bibles tonight, to the book of 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, I would just like to take this opportunity to acknowledge our pastor tonight in his absence for giving me the opportunity to stand before the children of God tonight. It's not necessarily the most comfortable position to be in, but we're all soldiers and we need to be prepared for the journey ahead. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. They had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Amen. As we close our eyes and pray tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you, O God. Yes. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you tonight, O God, for this opportunity, O God, that we could still gather in this fashion, O God. Father God, still be able to turn through the Word, O God, your Bible, O God. Father, Lord, Father God, and let you come, O God, and reveal, O God, Father God, the secrets, O God. Father God, we may read, O God, every word. We may see every word, O God, every letter that is typed in the book, O God. But, O God, if it is not because of your eyes, O God, that opened us, O God, that we could see, O God, what you are trying to tell us, O God. Father God, we would still be blind to the word, O God. But tonight we say thank you, O God, for coming our way, O God. Father God, and circumcising us, O God, Father, so that we can receive this word, O God. Father, tonight we pray, O Heavenly Father, God. Father, as I stand, Father God, in the gap tonight, O God, Father, I pray, O God, here I am, O Lord. Take control, O God. Father God, use my vocal cords, O God, to say, O God, what you need to say, O God. Father God, use me as a vessel tonight, O God. Father God, I pray tonight, O Heavenly Father, God, as I hide behind the old rugged cross, O God. Father God, may your word, O God, come and have preeminence, O God. Father God, may your word, O God, come, O God, as it goes forth, O God. Father God, may, Father God, it find fertile ground tonight, O God. Father God, and may we see the fruit thereof, O God. Father, Lord, we pray now, Lord, Father, come, O God, and have your way. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen, as we take our seats. The prophet in the message, God in his perfect word, says, now God doesn't tempt men, but God tries men. Test them. God cannot tempt you, but God can test you. And every son that cometh to God must be tested or child trained before he can be a son, become a son. And if we cannot stand chastisement, the Bible said we can become illegitimate children and not the children of God. Because a child of God is born of God, and he will stand the test anywhere, anytime, in any condition. Amen. For tonight, my message will be from trial to triumph. Amen.
Amen.
As we turn to our Bibles, to the book of Job, Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camel and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the day of their feast were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offering according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, and a perfect and an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God? For not has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all he had on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he had, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he had is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Here we see Job, perfect and upright man. Man that has nothing but favor from God.
Right.
In everything that he does, anything that he put his hand to, the evidence is there, because this man is really blessed. He's got 7 children, sons, 3 daughters, and I believe if we could convert what Job had those years, he would still be one of the most richest men in today's time with everything that he had. And Satan came to God, and Satan asked, or God asked, "Have you ever seen anyone as upright as my servant Job?" Tonight my question is, what will God say when Satan approaches him to ask about you? Will God have the same confidence? Will he have the same answers that he had when Satan approached him regarding Job? Is our lives of that God can truly say, "There is my child. I've got confidence in my child. You can test my child tonight." And truly, we go through things in life and we wonder, but why does this happen? Why does God allow these things to happen?
Right.
I know that the very first argument that one would have with an unbeliever, or one that doesn't believe in God, would be then, why is there so much suffering? Why is there so much death on earth? And tonight, as I go through, as I was preparing, my first thought was Job. And as I laid at God's feet, I realized that this story is more than just a story, because if it had to be a popular program on television for that, it would be a perfect fairy tale, because he had everything, he lost everything, and he was restored at the end. And that is who Job is. The story of Job is very profound, because how he comes to lose everything, because the devil knows that God protects him so much that even he could not come close, that he could not put his hands on Job. Now, the prophet says, in fellowship by redemption. Now, God had confidence in Job. Confidence, what does confidence mean? Belief that one can have faith in or rely on someone. So God knew that he could rely on Job, regardless of what the devil may bring to him, that Job would stand upright. Now and then, it's so difficult when we look at our own situations. We feel that we are the ones that are carrying so heavy. Your burden may be heavy right now for you, and you look at your neighbor and it seems like if your neighbor's burden isn't that heavy, you look around and you try and understand, but why this, why that? But it's not the purpose. When the prophet said, now God had confidence in Job. He had fellowshiped with him. He knew that Job could trust him. So he said, all right, Satan, you go on. He is at your hands, but don't you take his life. No matter what you may be going through, maybe that you feel like if you've lost everything right now, maybe like it's just too much. But there's one thing that we can rest assured, that God is still in control. Amen. That regardless of what the devil brings and how he takes and he destroys, because the devil perverts things. Where there's life, God gives life. He comes and he brings death. Where God gives health, joy, peace, he just goes and he turns everything in the opposite direction. And that is who he is. He's a perverter of all good gifts. And we need to stay confident. We need to trust God. Because at the end of the day, God has a plan for us. He says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, God says he knows the thoughts and plans he has for us. And if we can just sit back and understand that and trust that God knows what you are going through. God understands what you are going through. We don't need to make plans and try and figure out why or what. We need to trust that God is in control. We need to understand that God has a purpose behind all of this. And if we can just come and accept what God is putting us through, we understand that he's got a purpose. We should always remember that God has an expected end for us, planned for us. God has everything mapped out. And now and then we look at how things go, and this journey that we're on is not how we imagine it to be. Because for the human eye, we look at the situation and it's simple. We go from point A to point B. But God doesn't do it that way. God's got a way of taking sharp turns, unexpected turns in our lives. And those are the hard turns. Those are the hard decisions that we tend to try and shy away from. It's in those times where we see the end, just for God to take us 2 steps to the east, find ourselves 3 steps backwards. And that is the difficult part tonight, for us to understand, but why is it happening? Why? We'll ask why, and we'll never find the answers. Because God knows He's got a purpose in store for us.
Amen.
God is taking us into a direction. We'll see that with Job as well. He came to a point where his own wife came and she said, you know, just curse God and die. It's easy as that. His own family, his friends turned on him. Tonight we may be in the same situation where our friends judge us or judge you. You see it when there's a gathering, even in the workplace. You know, people are so easy to say, isn't that God? Look, God's hand is at work there. Looking at a person that's going through something. And these people judge so easily. They give advice so easily. Sometimes they can even give you a quote, scripture for you. And you look at the situation and you realize, but that is not God's purpose. God has a different angle on this.
Amen.
Sometimes we're going through hard times. But in that hard times, it's God's perfect will.
Amen.
And if we can accept that, God can then start to use us. We come to a point as a young man, it's so easy, you decide, if only I can get a job, I'll get a car. And it sounds easy, it's really easy. Just get the job, get the car, and bam, you're on your way. But it doesn't work like that. You get through, sometimes you even go as far as getting furthering your education, you come out with a qualification, and still you don't have a job. And you ask, but why? If only I can get the job, I'll have my dream car. That's a young man's thoughts. It's easy, simple as that. And God takes the same path with one. It looks, or to us as humans, it's the simple eye, it's just there. Then you get this job. And then you realize, but with the job comes responsibilities. Now you've got rent to pay, you've got food to buy, you need to undertake for certain things. So that dream car that you've been dreaming about just moves 1 step further. And that is how it is with God as well. We take a certain direction and we feel, you know what, God is in control. We know that we're moving in the right direction. And then God just comes and he turns it around. We look at the Israelites when they left Egypt. It was a simple journey, 2 days through the desert. But then, right at the beginning, God throws a curveball. Right at the beginning, God shows them that they need to trust Him. They need to have faith in God. When they got to the Red Sea, Moses looked behind him. I mean, he was right there. I think if they had to leave Egypt and walk straight into the Promised Land, Moses was the hero because he came and he saved them out of bondage and slavery. But God had to show them that it's not an easy life. He never promised that it will be easy. But He said it will be worth it at the end.
Amen.
At the end, when we get through life, we overcome these battles, we overcome these things that is hindering us, these trials that has been tested. When we tested, we realize, but at the end, God has something in store.
Amen.
And when we get to the other side, I think the excitement or the relief that we'll feel when we overcame, Brother Masuma, a few months back when he ministered, he said that when he gets on the other side, the first thing that he'll say to whoever he meets will be, I overcame Rhodesia. I overcame the one age that was not meant for you, that was a victor in your age. You may have overcame Goliath. You may have overcame how many armies, but where I am from, what I overcame was 10 times more.
Right.
And that, just for that crown,
amen,
when we get onto the other side. We go and we go with the Israelites as they go through this journey. And on the way, I mean, it must have been disheartening for some of them to know that we're walking, you see this tree today, tomorrow, 2 days later, you're passing the same spot because you must have marked it. And this journey just doesn't end. And in this journey, God is busy sifting. He's busy taking away the dead trees, the dead branches. Because God has a purpose. He wants this tree that when it brings fruit, it must be perfect. We know that once you prune a tree, it has an effect on that tree.
Right.
Some would say you don't prune it too early in the summer or too late in the winter, because that when you cut that tree, when you cut that branch, whatever energy, whatever vitamins and vitamins that was meant for the fruit is diverted to that branch that has been injured.
That's right.
To try and restore that. And so it is with the Israelites, and God is busy sifting them. And I think you get to a point where you see the promised land, you see the end of your trial, and you think, you know what, there's it now. And now you send 12 of your elders in. Where does this end? Because 10 come back and they say, you know what, it's impossible, forget it, it won't happen. How do you trust those 2 that said, you know what, guys, let's gear up. We're ready for this. Let's take this land. It is ours. It's the same with your trial. That test that you're going through, if you know the purpose, why God is taking you through, God takes you and He molds you, He pushes you through this trial. And as life goes, it takes turns. And now and then you feel, you know what, that turn was unnecessary. But what was God's purpose in that U-turn that you had to make there? Why did you have to go that way? We look at Jonah. There he was. Instead of going east, he goes west. Opposite direction. And we ask, hey, you know what? Sometimes we feel like that. We feel like running the opposite direction. But God had a purpose in that. God knew that I need this servant of mine for a greater purpose. If Jonah just went, would the outcome be the same? Would the Ninevites turn and listen to him when he came there on the ship the first time, put his feet down and say, you know what, God sent me, he said, thus said the word. Would it be the same? So God took the one thing, we think, we look at it and it may seem like if it was cowardness on his side when he got onto the ship. But for him to stand up and say to those guys, those sailors, you know what, I am the problem. Throw me aboard. How many in the midst of our storm that we face can stand up and say, you know what, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Move me to the next position. And it's the same with Jonah. So he ends up in this big fish, the belly of the whale. I know there's a lot of scientists now that tries and discredit the story. But that same scientist that goes about discrediting this big fish that swallowed Jonah is the same one that is busy hunting for a shark that is 10 times bigger than the great white that we know of. So that whale that we think is so big, there must be one that's 10 times bigger.
Yeah.
Because who knows the depth of the sea? Who knows that very one that discredit this is the one that's looking to see how deep the sea is. So with Jonah as well, he goes and God takes him and he puts him in that belly of the whale. Just because the Ninevites worship a fish god. So the impact when he landed there, God had a purpose for him to go backwards instead of forward. I think of a story where this young man was on a ship and the ship sinks at sea and he washes out on an island and he starts to pray, God, please save me. Lord, here I am. I need you. Lord, he cries out. It's amazing how quick we are to cry when we faced with those adversaries. And in this, he starts to survive. He learns to survive. He figures out while he waits there, he needs to build the shelter because it's open. There's the heat, the sun burns, scorches him during the day. And he starts surviving. He learns to hunt. He learns to fish. Protects the little that he has. And then one day, one night, as he comes to his little shelter that he built, finds this shelter is on fire. What does he do? What do we do when we get to that? We throw our hands in the air. Lord, but why? That little that I have, Lord, now you burn it up. It's all up in flames. And the next morning, this guy fell asleep. He cried himself to sleep. And when he woke up in the morning, he found a ship. Came, and they came to save him. And he asked, but now, how did you know I'm here? They said, no, that big ball of fire that you made last night, we were off course and that fire drew us. So, what is the purpose of your situation right now? If we can find that, we'll find what God is planning. We'll find God's perfect will. We look at Gideon from 300 verses 30,000. I mean, it looks impossible. It really does. But then what does God do? Gives you victory without even lifting one weapon. You don't even need to lift anything, but God does it for you. I mean, Esther had to speak to a king that was filled with pride. And God made a way. And all that she had to do was stay in a position, because her purpose was not to talk to the king, but to save the Jews. That was her purpose. And if she was forward or forced her way, who knew what would happen? Where would that story end today? It would have been totally different. We go, we look at Daniel. Daniel, I think, is one of the bravest servants in the Bible, if you look, to be thrown into a lion's den and not fed up lions. I mean, you go to the circles, you can see how skinny those lions are. But they feed them just enough to control them. And here they starve the lions. I mean, a lion in the wild, if it starve, it goes to any lengths. It really... They say that the lion wakes up in the morning and he knows he needs to outrun the slowest buck that day if he wants to survive. And regardless of what he is facing that day, he will not eat grass. And so Daniel is faced with this beast. We look at the lion as the king of the jungle. And he knows in his heart that God has a purpose here. Amen. My purpose is not to end here. The three Hebrew boys, when they refused to bow before the king, and it may be that it was for the king to surrender, It was for the king to come to God. So God uses so many different situations around us, so many different people, and we try and we want to understand, but why? We want to ask why. And in that we're asking why, Lord, we're questioning. You know, things are happening and you're hindering God from completing His work. Yeah. I know with my daughter, she's one that questions. She'll have a debate about the littlest thing. And sometimes you look at it and you ask yourself, but my child, if you just knew we spent 10 minutes on this, you could have had that already. But we tend to do that as humans. We sing the song, Ngithatha la, Ngibeka la. But in that God is moving you, do we understand what is He putting you in? He may be taking you from a solid rock and putting you on the sea for you to walk. He may be putting you in the fiery furnace. But we sing the song, but do we realize what words mean, how much the tongue carries? The Israelites got to Jericho and they looked at this wall that they had to overcome. Right now you may be in a trial or a test and it just seems, you know what, I can't. This wall is big. And as big as that wall is, before you even reach the wall, you need to overcome this pit. Yes. So your odds are just stacked against you. It just looks worse and worse. And before you can, if you manage to overcome those two, God brings another curveball. This Canaanite army is so well trained. I mean, the soldiers on the top, the bow and arrow, that can shoot you from a distance. And here you are, looking, it's just adding and adding and adding. It's funny how you go through something and you try and get a man-made solution for something. And it just gets deeper, one step deeper, one step deeper. And it's the same with them. They look at this wall, this pit, and this army that they need to overcome. And God just requires faith from them. He just requires them to believe Him. And He says to them, just march. Just march. Just possess the land. That's all that we need to do. And what is God's purpose in that wall, that pit, in that army? It's for you to turn your heart to Him. It's for you to look at Him. Because if you look at this wall, you stare yourself blind at this thing. You'll just get nowhere. And then you slope and your head is hanging. What do you see? This pit. Where do you turn to now? You look up and the soldier is here. You need to turn to God and see how God removes this wall. How God lets this wall fall, crumble in you, before you. You know, it's easy for someone on the outside to say, but have you tried this? Have you tried this? Have you done this? But very rarely would that person ask you, what is God's purpose for you? What is God trying to say to you? But that same person is the one that can say to someone else, hey, God is going through a test. God is really giving him hiding. There must be something. Poor Job's friends turned and said, hey, Bror, you must have been doing something behind secret sin. Instead of saying, brother, but what is your purpose? What is God trying to say to you? So we need to change our mindset. We need our attitudes towards situations to be of such that we do not ask why. Why, Lord? Cry, why, Lord? But understand that God has a purpose. God has a perfect will. And so many times we miss that because we want to enforce. We want our force, our end, we want our destination to be right there where we wanted to be.
Right.
And sometimes God would take you, you know, if you like traveling, it's the oddest routes, the oddest turn off that takes you to the most beautiful place. I mean, you get to a waterfall. The waterfall isn't there, just close by. You'll have to drive to get to that point. 9 out of 10 times you even have to get out of your car to walk to it. It's not just there. You have to detour. You're going to have to get over things to get to that beautiful place. And so it is with God's purpose. If we just trust Him to guide us and to lead us to that point, then we'll see. Today, to be a Christian, you really need a backbone.
Amen.
Because God never promised this journey to be easy. God never said it will be easy, but He said it will be worth it.
Amen.
Because if the Israelites just walked out and into the promised land, would they still have the same courage to possess that land?
Yeah.
Would they still have the same courage to go to that army, Caleb, that came and said, "Give me my mountain"? Would he have said the same thing if he just had it easy? Walk in. Wow, here we go. And what happens if the very first army approach? I think they'll find the quickest way back to Egypt. And that is how it is. We need to look and understand that regardless of the journey taking us different directions, sharp turns, lefts and rights, God has the destination that we need to reach. We need to understand. And we need to stop forcing or trying to force God into our point where we want to be. Because sometimes it's not the best place to be. Like the story of the young girl that got into the car and her parents, the father gave her the Bible, and she took the Bible and put it in the boot. And after they left, there was a terrible accident, and the only place, safe place, was in the back where the Bible was. Because that is where we need to be.
Amen.
If we can embrace that word and understand and listen to God and let Him guide us, let Him take us and put us in the boot, let Him take us and see how He moves with us. No, today we need to really stand up, because it's not easy to stand and say, "I'm a Christian." It's not easy, because the minute you profess it, the trials and tests just stacks up against you. Therefore, you need to be strong and courageous, because God said He never gave us the spirit of fear. Because He knew that we will have to face these things. Those back in the Bible, they had to face flesh. It was physical soldiers that they need to overcome. Today we overcoming different soldiers. Maybe financial, it may be marital, it may be work issues. But it's the same demon that was there that is walking in front of us. And if we don't have the faith and if we don't have courage to stand before them, and the important thing in this is that we need to stand up. We need to raise our hand and say, "Lord, here I am. Lord, this is who I am. Father, Lord, show me your purpose." Because He cannot gird you for the battle if you're on your back or you're sitting down. I know for a child to get up and on the bed, get dressed in the morning, it's the most easiest thing. But for God to use you, you need to stand up. You need to stand up. And the same with Job. If Job had to lay down, and he looked down and he saw, "But I need to stand for God to take me out of this. I need to get to God." And God doesn't want us to be lame and laying down, and because He cannot use you. You cannot fight. You cannot do anything while you're on your back. And that is not how we should live our lives as Christians. We need to stand up and say, "Lord, here I am. I may be broken, I may have one limb broken, but Lord, let me stand. Gird me so that you can use me. Sometimes that broken state that you may be in may be your neighbor's encouragement to say, you know what, regardless of what, brother so-and-so stood up. Brother so-and-so stood up. And in that, I look back and for a while, me and my wife, we had for almost 2 years, had a child that we were going through. And just when you think you overcame, bam, something happens. You turn to the left, it gets bigger on this side. And it truly felt like if we were faced with the Red Sea in front of us, Pharaoh and his men behind us, just to come and find out that Brother Babes was destined to come to Lighthouse Tabernacle for 2 years. It was postponed. For 2 years we were struggling with something. And then when we got here, we heard his testimony. And it was just like that. That trial, that battle that we were facing, we overcame that. And now you look at what was the purpose. Why did it have to happen? Why did Brother Babes not manage to get here for 2 years? Was he waiting for us to get here? Because God's purpose is greater. So tonight, I would like to encourage each and everyone that regardless of the test that we're in, maybe in a mess, maybe a big mess, the prodigal son was in a mess. He was in a bad state. But there's a message that came out of that mess. There's a message. And it may have happened 2,000 years, 4,000 years back. But that same message, that mess to a message, is the very same message that saved someone today. We go through trials and we need to overcome them to be triumphant. We test. Every test is a testimony. And we shouldn't be afraid to talk about those testimonies. Because so many times we shy, we expect, we want to talk about this great and big test that we overcame. But God operates in those little ones as well.
Amen.
And He's looking for you to acknowledge those little ones.
Amen.
For Him to be able to move to greater ones.
Right.
So many times we just looking at that the giant that we need to overcome. But we cannot even get over the river because we do not have testimonies. I mean, David went and he said, the first thing that he said when he was asked, did you see that giant? He said, that's nothing, I overcame a lion and a bear. And what happens when you've got the testimony? Someone will come and try and discredit it. Because the very first thing that Saul did was try and put on a man-made solution to his battle that he needed to go and face. Put on an armor that was not meant for him. David was never groomed for that armor. He would never fit in that armor. Had he went to Goliath with that armor, I think the story would have been different. Way, way different. So we need to understand. And if we can understand what is our purpose, God can then gird us with the right armor for the battle that we need to face. We will then move in that direction that God needs us to move in.
Amen.
Then we'll become from a victim to a victor.
Yes.
That is what God wants us to be. He wants us to be victorious.
Amen.
And so many times we lose the plot. We lose the plot because we tend to sulk. We tend to enjoy it to be a victim. And it's not like that. God does not want that. God wants us to be victors. He wants you to testify of that little victory that you had so that He can prepare you for the big one.
Right.
He needs you to talk to your friend, to your neighbor. Tell them, hey, you know what? The lights went off. But God made a way. And it's a fact. Sometimes we living in Witbank, it's so easy to blame the municipality. Aye, we're used to it, it's Witbank. There's no water. The washing is piling up and everything is just going backwards. But now and then say, Lord, I need to do this. And see Him restore the water. See Him restore the electricity.
Amen.
And then come back with that testimony.
Amen.
The important thing is to come back with the testimony.
Yes.
Because if you do not proclaim it, how do you expect Him to give you a bigger testimony? Because He needs you to bring that testimony to one. Tomorrow He uses you to speak to 100 or 1,000. And that is who God is. He doesn't work. He doesn't. God is. We limit God too much. We try and limit God to our expectations. And He's not that. God is so great. God is bigger than our wildest imagination.
Amen.
I mean, we look up and we see this part of the, what do they call, the Milky Way, the stars, and yet it's endless. It's endless. Only God knows where it begins and where it ends. The wind, I mean, like the songwriter says, you are the master of the wind.
Amen.
And if you go sit down and think, but where does the wind begin? And where does it end? No one knows. How does it come up? Because it's strange. I mean, we talk about Cape Town, we say it's four seasons in a day. But how is it possible? How is it possible? It's only God that knows. It's only God that creates. And the devil is so quick to pervert it. So quick, because now we discredit that piece of life that God created. He comes and he, when you at your lowest point, the devil is your best friend. He's the closest, he's the first one there. And in that he takes advantage. Because if you can stand up and let God use you and let God gird you, he cannot come close. Because he knows if this soldier is armed, if this soldier is dressed for war, he is here to enforce my defeat. I cannot come close to that. And tonight as we stand, we should remember one thing, that regardless of the sea around us, Peter got out and he walked first step, second step. But he kept his eyes on Jesus. His destiny was Jesus. But the minute he looked around, he must have seen the mountain there, and he saw this wave is as high as the mountain. He can't see the mountain. That little bit of doubt caused him to sink. But in that, right now where you feel you're sinking, Jesus is there. Simple, simple. He doesn't need a lot. He doesn't need you to do so much. All that he needs is for you to stretch out, because his hand is already stretched out. You need to just bring your part, do your part, and reach out, because his hand is there. It's waiting for you. We cannot be forced to do things by ourselves. But if we let him lead us, if we let him take our hand, then we can overcome the waves. We can overcome the sea tonight. Amen. And as we stand to our feet, you know, Pastor would always mention that, or he'll always tell us about that song testimony that he'd had. And I always say I'm one of those that's saving my voice from the other side. But if there's a song that I would have sung tonight, the songwriter says, the songwriter puts himself in Jesus' position, and he said, don't think for a minute I never felt the pain. You can't imagine the hurt and the shame. They put the nails through my hands, pierced my side. Please understand, It wasn't easy, but it was worth it.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus died. Jesus knew his purpose was the cross. Jesus knew that he needed to complete this journey. Take the shame and the suffering on him. Because there's another song that said, when he hung on the cross, I was on his mind.
Yes.
If Jesus came to that point and he said, this is not for me, where would we have been tonight? What would have become of us? Would we still be able to stand? If we look back at our lives and we think, where are we from? What we came through? If it had not been for Jesus that hung on that cross, what would have been of us? Some of us would have died a premature death. I know for one, I would not be able to stand if it had not been for Jesus on that cross.
Amen.
I know for one that my life as it was is not even worth mentioning because of the shame that I went through, the things that I used to do. Now I can stand up and sing, the things I used to do, I do them no more.
Amen.
And I can sing it with pride. I can sing it because of Jesus.
Amen.
And tonight, I want to encourage each and everyone that we need to stand and we should know that God's plan is greater. God knows what we are going through.
Amen.
He says in James 1:2, my brethren, count not it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. So if you patiently go through your trial, trust in God, the victory or the when you get to the other side, it's so much greater. Your victory, I mean, if you think of overcoming something small, and you take it as a victory, you celebrate that victory. And what God does it, God does it otherwise. While you're still in your trial, while you're still in your test, you need to celebrate.
Yes.
You need to proclaim, I overcame this thing.
Amen.
Because it said you must do it joyfully. Amen. Tonight, so let's go. That trial, that test that you're going through, know that God is in control.
Amen.
God still is at work. God is trying us. God is testing us. Because He wants the perfect bride at the end of the day.
Amen.
Amen.
Is the Lord? Is the Lord? He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord.
As our precious brother Nelson steps to the fore and just close the service for us in a word in prayer. Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Ghost, for your word this evening. Oh, yes, Lord, you have encouraged us, Lord. You have given us strength again, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, Father God, indeed, we are the bodies of Christ, and Satan has no power over us, for we overcome if we be good. We are of God, and we have overcome Satan, for greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Your word, Lord, and your spirit, they comfort us. We are far from oppression, and fear does not come near us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Whatsoever we do prospers, for we are like trees that are planted by the rivers of water. We are delivered from the evils of this present world. For it is your will, Lord, concerning us, that we shall be delivered from evil. No evil befalls us, neither do any plague or sickness comes in our dwelling, for you have let your angels take charge over us. They keep us in all our ways, in our pathway there is life and there is no death. We are not dying anytime soon, devil, for we are the doers of the word of God. We are blessed and happy in our deeds, for we are the doers of the word of God. We take the shield of faith, which is the word of God, and we quench every fury that the wicked one brings against us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Therefore, we forbid any sickness or malfunction to come on our bodies. Every organ and every tissue of our body function in the perfection in which you created it to function, Lord. Christ has redeemed us from the curses of the law. Lord, we thank you, Father. We give you all the glory and all the honor. I pray, Father God, that you'll be with us, Father God, as we depart now. Protect each and every believer. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
As we may we go out and have a victorious second half of the week. Let us go out and let us go and talk about those testimonies. Maybe little, maybe small, but God is preparing our hearts for those big testimonies. Amen. And we'll meet on Sunday again. Mother Grace, as you give one more song.
Amen.